think it affects it when it's not ours.
National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. Cindy Goodman Lieb and Selma Weiss are interviewing Marian Damick. It's June 30th, 2000.
Is it talk?
Just say.
Oh,
your
whatever.
Name and
Marian Damick, woof woof. Alrighty.
I have some questions to ask you from the last.
Sure.
Time. Some spellings. Alice Bubishki.
B-U-B. Mary Alice. Her name is Mary, M-A-R-Y. Mary Alice Bubushki. She owns the magic bookstore, mystery bookstore, and B-A-B-U-S. C-H-I, I think it is.
We can look it up on the
phone. Yeah, it's in, actually, she's quite prominent.
What about Vic Walczak?
W-A-L-C-Z-A-K.
Okay. And John Preshinsky.
P-U-S-H-I-N-S-K-Y.
Okay, and you mentioned the Baumgarten case that had to do with mental health.
And they will have, it would be B-A-U-M-G-A-R-D-E-N, but I can't remember what the case was about now.
Something about, I don't remember either.
Wasn't it fairly recent?
To do with mental health, but it's in the notes.
Okay, whatever. Anyway, that's how you spell it.
Okay, and two more questions. You said something about the attorneys didn't get paid, that you paid for the all the expenses. And then,
the ACLU does.
Did they get any fee at all? Because
Yes and no. Yes. While I was still there, the policy changed, and what we did was the attorney fees that you asked for. Attorneys all keep track, you know, their time, and every minute counts. So attorneys keep track of that, and that's when you go in for attorney fees. For a number of years, the attorneys did it gratis, and then things got a little rough. So in order to get more attorneys, National agreed that different places could, the chapters could. It isn't exactly split. The attorneys would get part of the fees, and the ACLU gets the other part of the fees.
And we
pay all the expenses, though, you know,
right.
Copying, and there are tons of expenses getting transcripts, which cost about $3 a page, and all that ACLU pays.
And the other question is that you mentioned that your husband did the first magnifier, but what?
It wasn't a magnifier. After you left, I thought of what it's called. Now you said the word magnifier, which will get me off. It will come to me what it is. It's now used tremendously, but at that time it was giant. Now it's itty bitty.
You mentioned that
magnetic.
You did some work for the Association for the Retarded
Citizens. Oh, yeah. I was on their board.
Okay.
And I used to, in fact, a number of years ago, did spot checking at the various institutions up at Polk. That I was in the group that discovered that they were using cages, like when for discipline purposes, and that became a big case, as a matter of fact, and that was discontinued, but it was just became a big state thing. So that was a number of years ago, and I also did spot checks with others. It wasn't just me at Western, and you know, you report in to the ARC as well as to the state Department of Mental Retardation, what you find. It can be good, can be, you know, not good. But you don't just report you know, if you find something good, you report that too.
Are you still involved with that?
I'm still on the advocacy committee for the for ARC. Uh-huh. Yeah, and until this year when they closed Western for
Western
at least
psychiatric?
Is no, what? This is Western State Hospital. Oh. Western State Hospital is down in Cannonsburg, and that's the residential hospital or hospital for the retarded, severely retarded. The state just closed it a month ago, but until then, for about at least 5 years, maybe six, I was a member of the Human Rights Committee at for the hospital, actually for, it was under the state, you had to have it, and we would, for, until about a year ago, we met twice a month down there, every Thursday mornings, every other Thursday morning, and then about a year ago, we just met every month because they had reduced the residents' population severely. You could put it off when the dogs, they're just barking, somebody's next door. And then now they've closed it, so we don't meet at all.
What did that committee do?
Very interesting. That committee, one, had to approve and sign off on any restraints, any restrictions on, and that include, or any, it also included medication. And we had to approve, and became very sophisticated in it, in psychotropic medication, because most of the clients who were there, in the number, were, had concomitant disabilities. They were both mentally ill and physically and mentally retarded, and quite a few had physical problems also. So we approved or didn't the use of various medications. They had to get our approval if they were increasing them, if they were decreasing them, if they were starting them. None of the members of the committee actually were doctors, or pharmacists for that matter. And I represented, not ARC, there was a representative there from ARC, I represented the PPNA, which is Pennsylvania Protection and Advocacy, which is a state agency funded by the federal government. I've been on that board for a number of years, and I'm now on the Mental Health Advisory Board of the PPNA. In fact, I have to go up there and go up to Harrisburg in a couple of weeks. We really, there was myself and two fathers of children who were there. Nobody's child, actually. They're all adults, but they were their children. And one person from ARC, myself, and then there was another gentleman, and I don't think I can't remember exactly what he was, whom he was representing, but he lived not far away. He was there. There had been off and on a woman whose sister was also a resident, but she didn't stay too long. But the four of us were really pretty constant.
Are you involved in, I know the new movement is to get small group homes.
Yes.
Are you
in? Very much.
There's a lot of controversy.
Yeah, that's why Western closed. Yeah. Oh, yeah, very much pro that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you involved in that?
Well, the advocacy committee works, of ARC, yeah, does work on that. Yes, indeed. And so, for that matter, does PPNA, which is the one who goes in and sues the state to close these hospitals. And, yeah, through them I am, yeah.
Okay. I wondered if, I know you... Were you active in the birth of Israel when Israel became a state?
No, I attended some parades. I was aware of it. I wasn't active in it. No.
Okay.
No.
And what about in the Vietnam War demonstrations?
My sons were, I was very much, I was opposed to our involvement in it and what was going on. And my oldest son was very much of an activist in it and was arrested several times for activities involved in that.
Okay. Well, let's talk about your sons. David.
Mm-hmm.
What does David do now?
David's an attorney. Uh-huh. He lives in St. Louis.
Does he have any, do you have any grandchildren?
Yeah, I have two girls.
Okay.
They're teenagers, 14 and a half and 16.
And what are their names?
Allison, A-L-I-S-O-N, and Kayla, C-A-Y-L-A.
And your son, Dean, you mentioned he was involved in the temple. And where does he live?
He has an apartment over in Squirrel Hill, and it's under supportive services of the JRS, Jewish Residential Service.
Okay.
He's often here, though.
When was, I don't know if we got their birthdays.
David was December 23. Fourth Christmas Eve, 51, and Dean is September 8th, 58. There was another son.
Yes, you talked about him. He's the
Danny.
Danny, who died in the airplane crash.
Right.
Is there anything else you want to tell us about Danny?
I don't know what I meant. You know, he got a lot of awards for acting. He was an excellent actor. And very athletic, very, very much into acting. He acted in a number of places.
Where was he when?
In Peru.
And what was he doing in Peru?
He was a exchange student.
Okay.
What kind of law does David practice?
David practices liability and mostly malpractice. Medical malpractice.
Okay. What kind of involvement does your son Dean have in the is it Rhoda Shulam Temple?
Yeah. Well, he goes frequent to services. He was a member. He is a member of the. Or was a member until he got older, of the young adults section. He was confirmed, and so was Danny confirmed there. That's really about his activities there.
Okay, you mentioned some of the controversial issues in ACLU,
mm-hmm.
and I wonder. And you mentioned that one time you were threatened, and you were there any other times that you were threatened?
Well, I get a number of threats, particularly around Christmas. Christmas time, particularly, and. Not so much actually on the abortion issue, but quite a bit on religion. Religion's a big thing. Gets
more
people.
So
very.
I'm sorry. Were you threatened more because you were Jewish than?
No, because of the ACLU.
Okay. What do you think? You've done so many things. Is there any particular accomplishment that stands out more than others?
Having survived 50 years of marriage, that's astounding.
What do you want to be remembered for, as far as what difference?
I think trying to be a social activist and see change, and a supporter of underdog type causes. I don't know that you would call all of them underdogs, so to speak. I very strong supporter and have worked with the gay rights and AIDS patients. I was a buddy to an AIDS person who died of AIDS. And that's, you know, I think the word you would use, those that others might disdain.
Okay, you talked a lot about, you know, Pittsburgh as it was many years ago. Is there anything else you want to add to that we haven't discussed?
Gee, there was something I remember I was thinking the other day, and I thought, oh, gee, when they, you know, you come back, I should mention it, and of course it slipped my mind. I think I mentioned about the milk. They used to have milk deliveries and the ice deliveries, and we bought the food, Sither and Yon, and we went, took streetcars and shuttles and whatever over to the north side a lot. But I think I mentioned all that. And we went down to the hill to the Irene Kaufman when it was on the hill. And, but there was something else that happened, and I'm trying to remember. It made me think, oh yeah, that was many years ago we did that. I think I probably also mentioned they used to have a market down at Market Square. They had a market, market house down. You know, you had vegetables and meats and stuff like they have actually now in Fennel Hall in Boston. They had that down Market Square, and then up above was a roller skater rink. And then we had ice skating in Duquesne Gardens, which was right on Craig Street. And that's where I was, I think I told you, you know, when the war was declared. But trying to think what else there was that went on. I mentioned about when I was young, I'm sure I said, how people came to the back door looking for work or for food, and we would give it to them.
Did that shape your...
It may have. I mean, at the time, I certainly didn't say, gee, this is shaping my thinking. But I became aware, certainly, that people... a lot of people were poorer than... Well, we weren't what I would call poor, but... A lot of people didn't have a lot of things. And the other thing was that you really had to help other people as much as you could. You didn't turn people... My mother didn't turn anybody away. And we did all that. We also... my mother, although she did have her faults... as we all do. In any event, she's probably the one who, you know, got me doing a lot of understanding what called, quote, charity work. And I think I mentioned that when we traveled up in New York State, my mother and I went up in the summers and spent the time up around Syracuse at the Finger Lakes. We had a cottage and things, and my uncles would come out. But we also did a lot of, she did like the antiques, and we did a lot of antique shopping around and driving hither and yon and sometimes staying over. And we took, in those days you had your own laundress. We had a laundress here too, come in, do our laundry. And we, they were always black, including up in, we took them, the laundress up there with us on our trips. And that would sometimes put us in inconvenient positions in that places wouldn't let her come into the dining hall with us, into the restaurant, or use the bathrooms. And I became quite aware of that very early and knew that we wouldn't put out, we would go somewhere else, or we would, insist, or whatever. She would always try to be, bother, but my mother insisted, and we did. So I learned that, which might have been something. I remember we used to have a, the lawn, it's not an ironing board, it's
A mangle.
Mangle, right, exactly. We used to mangle sheets, of course, the sheets and the towels and whatever and whatever. We had that, and it wasn't until after I was married that we finally got rid of it.
What is it?
It's called a mangle. It's everybody had them, right?
My mother had.
Yeah, like you see in the laundry, in the probably some of the laundries. You describe it about so big and bending, and it's a round tube thing, and it has a big heating element that fits over the top, and with your foot you open it up and you put in your sheet and then you close it down, and it irons it, and then you open it up and you turn the thing and more sheet goes in and you iron your sheets.
If you were good, you can iron shirts on it.
And you could iron shirts on it. Our laundress could iron shirts. I couldn't iron shirts. I was lucky to be able to iron, which I always did, sheets and stuff like that. We did that.
About how big was it?
Oh.
2 feet?
The width of a sheet. Mm-hmm. You know, width of a sheet. You had to fold the sheet, not the... You know, you fold the sheet over once, so you have a width of a half a sheet.
I guess that was before steam irons, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was before steam irons, definitely before steam irons.
Yeah.
So it was easier than actually standing up, and you sat down, first of all.
Yeah. Everything had to be ironed at that point.
Yeah, everything had to be ironed. Yeah, everything was ironed.
So it took up a lot of time, a lot of...
Yeah, but you had a laundress. I did it too. You know, used to do it.
Did your mother have her go along to do the ironing, or is it kind of a gesture?
This was just to give her a trip.
So then you were really emotionally involved in this whole civil rights movement.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about some of the honors. Have you gotten honors or awards? I'm sure you
have a whole list somewhere. On my resume, I've got a whole list of honors. I can't remember the honor, you know, which I can get for you. Civil Libertarian. I've had Marion Damick Day of the City Council. And Civil Libertarian of the Year Award, that sort of thing. But there have been, honors from ARC and on. I really have a whole bunch.
That would be helpful, actually, to have a copy of my resume.
I can we'll make a copy of that.
Well, actually, I don't have any other questions to ask. Do you have anything else you want to say, or Cindy might have some questions?
Not that I can think of. You know, you wait until you leave, then I have things.
did you purchase most of these? Masks?
Oh, yeah. Practically all. Not a couple of them were given to us, the two from Columbia. They look like paper mache or something, or paper. Those two. They're rectangular. They were given to us. Most of them we bought when we've been different places, or even some here and from that. A couple, though, the girls have brought back from, various... places they've been. Let's see, there's that I'm from somewhere I know. But we got those in Brazil and like that one that was given to us, that glass sort of mask thing. That was from, actually from Brazil, mother of the young man who stayed here.
And who did the...
The painting, an artist obviously did it, but I got it at the Purset auction a couple years ago. It sits there, and it sits there instead of hanging there because, although I got it about maybe 4 years ago, my husband never liked it, and so he won't hang it, so it just sits there. But we haven't got rid of it. Keep threatening to buy something else there. So it's there, and we just that the Chinese thing hanging there, although it just came from in honor of our 50th anniversary from friends, a guy who lived with us for 2 years in, from China. So he sent that, and it tells what it says. It was done, actually, he had it, somebody did it for us.
Have you had many foreigners living here?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
From how did you how did you meet them, or how did you get
Well, let's see. We've had, for ages. We had several Chinese living here who were working at the Bureau of Mines when my husband was there. No, they were at U.S. Steel when my husband was there. And so they lived with us for 2 years. There were three of them. And then also at U.S. Steel were a couple of Germans, but actually I'm trying to think if they lived with, but we were very friendly with them. Then we've belonged to PCIV for a number of years, so we've had people come in and stay a while. But then through a friend of a friend, we got a violinist from who was going to CMU, getting a master's in CMU, from Brazil. And she stayed with us four years. And then she had, then since then we've had a number of violinists who lived with us, one knows the other, and something, something, something. We also have had two German young men who were working at the Holocaust Center, and they're here doing their CO work for the Holocaust.
Do action and, reconciliation.
Yeah, and they, yes, exactly. And so they've lived here. We've had two different, you know, two different times, but.
Does Viola live here?
Hmm?
Does the new...
No, because we're full up of violinists. we would have, but we got all these violinists now. So this year, right now, let's see, we've had like three people, but one is just now, she will be going up to Michigan. She was here for 4 years from Venezuela. She's going up to Michigan for her master's. And another one is Melissa. She's a violist. She'll be moving out in September, and she's going to have her own apartment for a while, variety of reasons. But because she's getting married. But then we have another violinist who's, right now she's, where is she? Oh, now she's in Colorado, but she'll be back for another year at least. And then there's a cellist who will be here from Hungary. Oh, and then there's another violinist from Venezuela who will be upstairs. So Inez and Mariana, our violinists, they'll be up on the third floor. The cellist will be on the second floor, and that will give one free room if Dean sleeps over sometime or other, or for somebody who will come in for a short time. Also, there's a Spanish girl coming in. Oops. No, turn it off. No, I was just mentioning that was the librarian from Square Hill Library, because I called to say that the several lights, eight bulbs were out. I'm in charge and have been since the library opened, which is quite a while ago, the exhibit, the art exhibits at the Square Hill Library. So I get artists and to exhibit there, or photographers who are artists also. And we have a very good, very good selection.
Yes, real good. I've seen some of them.
Some are very nice. The quilts are terrific when they put them up. Mm-hmm. So I have to have something for every month. And we've had it for, what is it, the library's been open like 20 years now.
And you've been in charge of it since the beginning?
Yeah, I was one of the founding members of the committee that felt we should have a branch of in Squirrel Hill.